Welcome, and thank you for listening to Grace Heritage Church Audio, Building a Household of Faith on a Foundation of Grace. Visit us online at graceheritage.org. Please stay tuned after the message for more information.
Bom dia.
Bom dia.
Good morning, huh? In Portuguese. It's good to be with you once again. I think it's 2 years ago was the last time I was here, and I shared with several of you. And today I'm going to share a little of what I shared last time, but there's a lot of new things that's going on with us and other Portuguese-speaking places in the world, and so we wanted to make you aware of that. I know you've been praying for us. Paul sends an email to me every once in a while, say, what's going on? How can we pray for you guys? And so I know you've been faithfully praying for us. He was asking about my knee just a moment ago. We've been praying for that for the last 2 or 3 years, and I've had some knee problems and thought I was going to have to give up some of my traveling and go into different places, because when you travel to these other countries, sometimes you have to run through airports and you walk up mountains and it takes a lot of wear and tear on your body. Yeah, but thanks to the Lord and your prayers, the last couple of years I haven't had any major problems. In fact, it seems like my knee has gotten stronger, and the Lord has opened up many more opportunities for me to go into other countries, which I've needed my knee to be functioning well, and by His grace, some good things have been happening. Let's just read a word of Scripture from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Ephesians 4, verse 1, I'll read it here. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. And another Scripture verse I want to share with you is from Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 9. Proverbs 16, verse number 9. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his step. Or in the ESV says, but the Lord establishes his steps. Lord, I pray once again that you bless our time as we share this morning, as we share what you have done. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your help. Just pray that you continue to help your servant, Lord. You bless our time here and help us to be encouraged. You know our hearts. You know what we need to hear. You know what is going on in our lives. Just pray that you give us clear direction this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. First, I want to thank Garrett for the clear word that he shared this morning. It reminds me of when I was about his age, beginning in pastoral ministry and preaching in some of those early sermons. And I remember what it's like, and he did a very good job. In fact, he probably did a lot better job than I did when I was his age in some sermons I preached. And but I appreciate that word that he gave to us. It was a very good word, for all of us to remind us of our need to stay in the Word, to walk daily with Him, sit before the feet of Jesus on a daily basis, whether it's a brief time or whether you have a long devotional time you plan out each day. We need to sit before Him, to hear from Him, to hear His direction for our lives, to know what His will is for our lives. If we, those of you who are young people still in college or preparing for college, I know we have two children. We have a daughter, Deborah, who's in law school in Brazil, Presbyterian University. She's beginning her fourth year in law school. And many times she'll say, Dad, I'm just not sure about what to do now or what direction to take or where the Lord's going to lead me. And our son, Stephen, who's here with us, just finished 4 years of Brazilian Air Force. And he's now preparing for his future as well and what steps to take, which way to go. And my word to them is always, you know, well, we need to look to the Lord. We need to find out what He wants. What is His will? What is His direction? And as we just read from the Scripture from Ephesians 4 about us being walking worthy of the calling by which the Lord has called us. And we need to find out, what does God want us to do? What direction does He want us to go in? Through the Spirit's help, through the Word of God, we'll find those things. It's good to ask counsel. It's good to talk to other people. Yes. God has wisdom He can give to us through the lives of men and women who have gone before us. But His Word, by His Spirit, is where we're going to find His true will for our lives. And when He shows us what it is, that's what we need to do. Here's our family, as I've shared with you, about our two children, Deborah and Stephen. And then my wife, Eugenia. We've been married for 25 years now. And you say, where did you meet your Brazilian wife? You know, some of you guys may be looking for a wife. I'm not sure. when I was in seminary, and I had a few girlfriends when I was in college and years before that. But I came to a point where I finally just said, you know, I read in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 where Paul said, if you're loosed from a wife, if you don't have a wife, don't seek a wife. Don't seek a wife. That's the way to find a wife, is not to seek a wife. So I put that verse on my mirror in my room there in Memphis, Tennessee, where I was finishing or halfway through my degree in seminary, Mid-America Baptist Seminary. So I put that on there and said, seek not a wife. And so I just began to pray and seek the Lord. Not long after that, I wanted my second missionary trip to Brazil, because I had gone on a mission trip to Brazil for 1 week and spent some time there, had a great time, but I didn't meet my wife during that time. So the Lord had to send me back again. Sometimes us men are a little slow, and we don't see things that the Lord puts before us or puts around us, and so the Lord has to do things a second time. So the Lord allowed me to go back to Brazil again. This was in 1990. And during that trip, I crossed paths with Egineia. And when I was finishing our trip, after a week there, we swapped addresses. And I went back to the United States, continued studying in seminary, trying to finish my degree there. At this time, the Lord had called me to missions, but I didn't know where I was going to go. And having been to Brazil twice, and now having a pen pal in Brazil, I was kind of feeling a little leaning toward that direction. Again, I'm not seeking a wife, okay? But I'm writing letters. And so this is before internet, before Facebook. You guys don't know when it was like during those days. But for 3 years, we wrote letters back and forth, and we have most of those letters to this day that we've kept. And through those letters, God began to knit our hearts together. Maybe he does that through emails today, knits our hearts together through emails or through our... But anyway, the Lord began to knit our hearts together, and I was preparing to go overseas. And I was thinking about the possibility of going through the International Mission Board, going to South America, because I'd been there twice. Now I had a friend in South America. And so I was praying about that. And I got a phone call from my pastor, Phil Newton. Some of you know him. Pray for him. He's going through a difficult time health-wise, going through some cancer treatments. He's in chemotherapy now, but pray for him. But it was through him that God opened a new door for my young seminary life and for my future. And he called me and he said, Kevin, I just was talking to someone, and there's a country in Eastern Europe that's opened up, and they need missionaries urgently. They need people who have a heart for orphanage work or to do pioneer evangelism, to help plant churches. And I said, well, God's been preparing me for all of these things. Where's this country? I'm ready to go. And he said, well, it's a little country called Albania. Albania. Now, where's Albania? Albania is in Eastern Europe, surrounded by Greece and Italy, across the Adriatic Sea, Macedonia, Montenegro. And he said, there's some guys that are going over there in 3 weeks, and they're going to do some video work with some of the orphanages and take pictures of some of the children there and try to start a sponsorship program for the orphanages. And he said, well, maybe you can go on this trip with these guys and kind of see what's going on over there. And I said, well, you know, 3 weeks. I just graduated from seminary. I don't have any money to buy a plane ticket. You know, it's kind of expensive. And so I just began to pray and let some people know that there's an opportunity for me to go to a country that's been closed by communism for 50 years and don't have hardly any Bibles. Many people never heard about Jesus. It's 70% Muslim. And so I said, okay, well, let's pray. And 3 weeks later, I was on that airplane to Albania. And the Lord can do things. Sometimes we forget about that. Sometimes we limit him. But if God has direction for us to go in our lives, whether it's just to begin things, begin to see more about what our future might be, God will provide the way as long as we're obedient to him. And that's the thing I found out in my life as a young college student and then in seminary, was God wants me to be faithful. Faithful in the little things. Faithful for that devotional time each day to read the Word of God. And as Garrett mentioned, there's so many distractions when we get up every morning. Studies we still haven't finished, got a test later on today, We're going to meet somebody later on. Basketball game at 1:20 this afternoon. And we forget about really the most important thing is our time sitting before the Lord and learning from Him and hearing from Him and getting His direction for our lives. Because if we're not getting our direction from Him, we're getting it from other sources and maybe from our own heart, which sometimes can be deceitful. And so we need to get it from the Lord. And so I began to pray, and I went to Albania, spent a week there, met some missionaries, saw some of the orphanages, came back, and just began to pray. I didn't have a big light come on in my head or see writing on the wall that you need to go to Albania, but I just said, well, Lord, if this is your will, I'm going to go in this direction until you shut the door. And so I just began to go in that direction, praying and being open to Him and making preparations to go back to Albania and plant my life there if that was His will. I didn't know. But I just wanted to be faithful to Him and what He was showing to me at that time in my life. But during this time, while I was preparing to go to Albania, there was another young lady. This is a young lady I was writing to, you remember, for 3 years. She was planning a trip to the United States. And so, just so happened that she was going to arrive here about a month or two before I was supposed to go to Albania. And so she did. She came to the U.S., made her way to Memphis, met some of my family, my pastor, Pastor Phil, and at the end of the trip, I was just thinking, Lord, this is the one that I've been praying for. Seek not a wife. This may be the one that I haven't been seeking that you have provided for me. And so before she went back to Brazil, I said to her, are you willing to go to Albania? Are you willing to go to Albania? Because I knew if she said, no, I don't want to go to Albania, I don't have a heart for Albania, I don't have a heart for missions, this is not for me, then I didn't need to pursue her any further, because God had called me and prepared me, was preparing me to go to Albania for the possibility of planting my life there. And if she was not willing to go to Albania, then the answer was there already, that she was not the one for me, at least not at that moment. And so she looked at me and she said, yes, I'm willing to go to Albania. And so we got engaged. She went back to Brazil, and a month or two later, I went on to Albania, and single missionary still, and I spent six months in Albania, learning the language, learning the people. She spent 6 months in Brazil preparing for our wedding. And so 2 weeks before our wedding, in 1994, I got on a plane from Albania and flew to Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, not knowing hardly any Portuguese. About what I began the more, bom dia, that was about it, good morning. And so I go to Brazil and to Rio de Janeiro 2 weeks before our wedding. I had an interpreter next to me to translate what was going on during the wedding ceremony. And to tell me the part when I'm supposed to say yes, okay? And I did know that word in Portuguese, so I was able to say yes, sim, at the right moment. So we were married. And after we were married, we spent our honeymoon learning Albanian. So we were in Brazil for 2 more weeks. And then after 2 weeks, I took her back with me to Albania. And so we spent 5 years in Albania working with orphanages. She was a great help in that. The Lord had prepared her through World Vision. She worked with World Vision in Brazil with orphanage work, sponsorship program, perfect fit for what we were going to do in part of our work there in Albania. We worked with helping plant churches, Bible studies for young people, children. We were evacuated by the Marines in 1997 from Albania when there was a civil uprising that took place. We were there and our two children were small, and there was no way to get out of the country. The airports had closed, and God, through the Marines, took us by helicopter to the Adriatic Sea, from the Adriatic Sea to Italy, from Italy on a train to Rome, from Rome to France. And we spent 9 months, 3 months in France, 6 more months in the U.S., and then we went back to Albania again for another year. Spent there in Albania doing Bible studies mostly with children in her home. And so, God's faithful. If we commit ourselves to Him, every step of the way, He'll open the door at the right time. He'll close the door at the right time, and we need to be sensitive to both. Again, that goes back to the message we heard today, walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, staying in God's Word. If not, we make decisions based on our thoughts and our feelings and our emotions, and sometimes we make wrong decisions. And we hurt ourselves and we hurt other people. We hurt opportunities for ministry. We do a lot of crazy things when we're not being led by God's Spirit, including decisions about our future. And so we spent 5 years in Albania. Both of our children were born during that time. Deborah was born in the U.S. We left the country for her birth. Stephen was born in Brazil. And so when Brazil and the U.S. play in a soccer game or whatever else, we have two sides in our home. My wife and son for Brazil, and my wife and me and my daughter for the USA. So it makes things interesting, huh? Living an international life. But again, the most important thing to be is to be in God's will. Wherever it may be, in Auburn, Alabama, on the other side of the world, that's what we want. That's what we need. And we get that from the Lord as he gives it to us through his word and through his spirit and through faithfulness daily, spending time sitting at the feet of our Lord Jesus. So from Albania, there's our wedding picture. I just added that just in case you want to see that. So, and then in we were in the mountains of Albania. This is one of our first trips we went together before we had children as well. See that skinny guy on the right with red hair? Yeah, that's me. And but we did some work in the mountain villages, going to places where people had never heard about Jesus, never had a gospel track, and the Lord used us in that area. And then in May of 2000, we arrived in Brazil after a year in the U.S. After we left Albania, we felt God was time to get out and to go in a different direction. As I shared with you before, when I was in seminary, I was often considering going to South America. That's where my heart was. After being there twice, I'd been to Central America, to Belize once. Also involved in mission trips around the USA. Involved in personal ministry in Memphis, Tennessee. I was involved in ministry to Shelby Training Center in Memphis. Was a prison for teenagers. Was involved in a home for girls, preaching every Sunday there. Did some street ministry, discipleship. Always being involved in the Lord's work, wherever you are. Or say, oh, I want to be a missionary. If God's calling me to missionary, I would say, well, what are you doing right now? What are you doing where you are? What are you doing to help people in their walk with the Lord? I was involved in discipleship. I get someone, when I was in college, someone discipled me, took me when I went there. And I didn't tell y'all where I was born. I don't know. But you remember where I was born, right? Well, I grew up in Hogjaw Valley. Yeah, I was born in Chattanooga. Grew up in a place called Hogjaw Valley, Alabama, which is across the river from Bridgeport, Alabama, which is across the river, Tennessee River, in that corner in the northeast. And God saved me. And then when I got to college, there was an older student. He was probably his senior year in college, named Jeff Morona. And he began to disciple me as a freshman. He said, Kevin, I see that you have an interest for the things of God. Would you like to grow in your faith? First of all, I said, no, I had gotten involved in intramural football, flag football there at school. And I said, well, I really don't have time right now. I'm kind of involved with these intramural sports. And later we got basketball, you know, intramural, and so maybe later. But the Lord convicted my heart a few weeks later. He said, Kevin, this is what you need in your life more than you need to play basketball or football or anything else. You need to grow in your spiritual life. Because it just so happened that one of the other guys that he invited to be in this discipleship group of three men was my roommate. And so for 2 or 3 weeks, I had to listen to my roommate who was starting to memorize Bible verses. And each night before he would go to bed, he's going through these Bible verses, and I'm like, and God's convicting my heart, said, Kevin, you need to be memorizing these Bible verses too. And so the Lord broke my heart and one day, and I went back to Jeff, and I said, Jeff, I said, I need these in my life. Will you allow me to get in this group? And he said, yeah, come on, I'll let you. You're behind everybody else, and so you're going to have to do some extra work to catch up. And so I joined the group, and I began to memorize Scripture. I began to learn the basics of the Christian life, and that really transformed my life. When I made that decision to dedicate my time and my efforts more to the things of God and the things of the world, God began to do a work in my heart. God began to show me more of what his will is for my life. And his will, principally for my life, was to reach other people with the gospel of Jesus Christ and disciple others. And so I began to do that. I began to share Christ with others. I began to start my own discipleship in college with three other guys. I invited them. I said, come to my dorm room. They're in the University of North Alabama. I don't think I mentioned that. It's where I studied at, in Florence. And I began to disciple other guys. And so I had 2 or 3 discipleship groups the last 2 or 3 years of college. And that's how God begin just to lead me, just being faithful to the Lord in the little things of sitting before Him and getting His Word in my heart and in my mind and allowing Him to show me and direct me what I should be doing. And then, right toward the end of my time in college, God began to speak to me again. He says, Kevin, I want you, not verbally, but in my heart and through His Word, He began to speak to me. He says, Kevin, I want you to be a proclaimer of my truth. I said, well, being a proclaimer of His truth, what does that mean? Sounds like it means I may have to talk in front of other people. Now, I didn't like that because I hated the idea of talking in front of people. A two-minute speech in college or any other place was terrifying to me. And now the Lord's calling me to proclaim His truth, maybe in front of a group of other people. And I fought that, and I said, Lord, there's other people that like to talk. They have the gift of talking. They have the gift of communicating openly with other people, and I don't have that gift. I'm from Hogjaw Valley, do you remember? I'm kind of backwards, you know. I grew up hunting and fishing. I'm good at that, but speaking in front of other people, I don't think so. But the Lord continued to speak to my heart. And later the Lord spoke to me and through His Word and through His Spirit and just said, Lord, Kevin, I'm not interested in what you can do. I'm interested in what I can do through you. As you present yourself as a living sacrifice, present your body as a living sacrifice to me, who you are, your experiences, your past, your abilities or no abilities at all, whatever you have, just present that to me, and I'll do what I need to do through you. And so I just said, okay, Lord, and I committed myself to be a proclaimer of His truth. And so that's kind of the direction the Lord brought me when I was in college into the mission field. And now the Lord is leading us to Brazil. We arrived there in May of 2000 in the city of Niterói, where we were there for 7 years. We started a Baptist mission in 2002. When I went to Brazil, I was not planning to start a church. I was planning to help a Brazilian pastor, which we did for about a year and a half, but that wasn't going well. And so we gracefully stepped out of that situation, but there were several people around us who were saying, Kevin, teach us. Teach us the Word of God. We're hungry. We want to learn. And so we started with us and another family in our living room. We just began to have a Bible study, and then other people began to come and show interest. Some of my wife's family were a part of that church, and so we just began a mission church that eventually became Faithful Baptist Church in Niterói in 2007. Was organized in the Brazilian Baptist Convention, and we began a church in the storefront. We eventually rented out the second floor as well, and just began to teach the Word of God. It was during this time that I began to embrace the doctrines of grace, Reformed theology. And when I first went to Brazil, I did not. I did not know hardly anything about the doctrines of grace. But the Lord, through pastoring, you have to preach the Bible faithfully. And so I began to preach through Acts, 1 Timothy, and other places, and I began to see the doctrines of grace, the doctrines of election, predestination, and God's sovereign work and salvation in all over the Bible. And I began to embrace that. And I attended a conference that was going on there. I'll talk about that in just a moment. Again, there's some photos of the church now. There in the front, the guy on the left is Elcio. He's leading the church now. He began to help us, got a seminary degree, and now he's the pastor that's leading the work there. We live about 4.5 hours from Niterói, where our work is. I'm going to show that in just a moment here. That's a lady that was saved during the early days of the mission church or the church that we planted there, and she's now 88 years old. We baptized her when she was 78, and she's continued to follow on with the Lord. There's Elcio, as I mentioned there, he and his family, and his work as the Bible teacher and preacher there at the church. One of the things that God opened up there that we were not planning as well was a Bible conferences in Niterói, and Pastor Paul was in on, we had for 9 years, and he was in on 8 of those, I believe, going to Brazil and teaching at this theological conference that was held in an Assembly of God church by a Reformed Assembly of God pastor, together with me, a Baptist pastor, and a Presbyterian pastor who was well-reformed. The three of us together organized these Bible conferences every year, and We invited people from the U.S. to come down, Pastor Paul, Pastor Phil Newton, David Wooten, and some other brothers that came down to minister there in that conference. This is one of the photos, one of the last, probably around 2010, 2011. We eventually had to stop because everybody who was organizing the conferences got scattered in different directions, and we were not able to continue moving on. But we had some wonderful meetings there. We had people that came from Pentecostal churches, Assembly of God churches, who were Armenian in belief, came just to see what was happening there. They just said, what's a Baptist and a Presbyterian and Assembly of God guy doing together in Assembly of God church with American preachers coming down? What's going on? And some of them just came to check it out of curiosity, and they heard the Word of God preached there. And many of them were impacted. And I remember one pastor came to me and said, hugged me, gave me a bear hug, said, thank you so much. We don't hear these things anywhere else. Continue on with this work. And so we did until the Lord moved us to another location. This is Richard and Pearl Denham. They're the founders of Fiel Ministries that Brother Paul had mentioned. They were in Brazil for like 60 years and dedicated their life to missions. They're starting on the Amazon River. And it was there that Richard Denham received some booklets from two English missionaries concerning Reformed theology, concerning the doctrines of grace. And he had never really read any much of that before. And he began to read that, embrace it, and he started translating the literature from English into Portuguese. And from that began Fiel Publications. Fiel, the word in Fiel in Portuguese means faithful. Faithful Publications. And so he began translating that material into Portuguese. He moved down from there to southeast Brazil in San José dos Campos. And that's where Fiel Ministries now has their headquarters. And so he moved down there, but continued doing translation work, continued growing the publication ministry there. And from that, started a conference ministry. And they have been going on in Brazil for 35 years, the Fiel Conference in Brazil. And other conferences were started in other places. But God put it in Pastor Rich's heart, how can we help these pastors and leaders have good materials? How can they get these materials into the hands? Some of them can't afford it. Some of them can't even find it. And there's not the only kind of books you find in most Brazilian bookstores are books by Benny Hinn and other types of prosperity gospel preachers. And so he said, let's start a ministry called Adopt a Pastor, where pastors can be adopted by their sponsors and receive a book a month and other help to receive this kind of material and be introduced to the doctrines of grace. And so we were invited to move to San José dos Campos, and in October of 2007, we officially accepted the invitation of Pastor Rich and his wife and Fiel Ministries, and we moved from Niterói in Rio de Janeiro to San José dos Campos. And a little later, he invited us to be the coordinators for the Adopt a Pastor ministry. As I mentioned there, it provides a book a month. There's some of the authors. I don't know if you can read the titles there that are in Portuguese. Nine Marks of a Healthy Church, Think, John Piper, The Truth of the Cross by Sproul, John Calvin's Commentaries, books by other John Calvin and books by Martin Lloyd-Jones, J.C. Ryle. These are some of the books that we get into the hands of the pastors and leaders who are adopted into the Adopt-a-Pastor ministry. They also receive help to attend our annual conferences. We have a conference in their country. There are more countries, as Paul mentioned, that speak Portuguese than just Brazil. And we also provide theological training courses by Nine Marks of a Healthy Church. These are some of the meetings we've had some of the adopted pastors during the conference time. We have special meetings where we meet with them, talk to them, give them new books, the books for the next months, the time in the program. This is a meeting with pastors in Mozambique. Find Pastor Kevin here. Can you find Kevin in this photo here? All right. Yeah, I kind of stick out a little bit in the photo there. This is one of the meetings with the pastor. We have about 100 pastors in Mozambique today who are a part of the Adopt-a-Pastor ministry. And 80 of them live in the south part of the country. And there's Guinea-Bissau on the west coast of Africa. We have a work that's going on there. We've had helping pastors for 5 or 6 years there. Now we have a conference ministry going on as well. Cape Verde Islands, there's some islands off the west coast of Africa as well. that we had our first conference there this last week. I'll show you a photo of that in just a moment. Here's Angola. We're just getting back into Angola. We were there several years ago. We've been helping some pastors over the years, but I was there this last month, and there's some of the guys there that are in the Adopt-A-Pastor ministry there. And I'll mention a little more about Angola in just a moment. I'll try to get through these, so I'll give some time for you guys if you have some questions at the end if you want to ask. FIEL conferences, I mentioned that. We've been having the FIEL conference in Brazil for about 35 years. Joel Beakey here preaching in one of our conferences in the last couple years. He was there. And then in Brazil, as I mentioned, we have about 2,000 that are our average attendance in Brazil. We started with 85 about 35 years ago. Now we average around 2,000 that come from all over Brazil and some people from outside of Brazil. Portugal has grown, doubled in size in the last few years. In our work there, difficult work, very Catholic country. And then Mozambique, the north of Mozambique is Nampula. Charles Woodrow, Carl Peterson, two missionaries have helped us there. We're about to have our 20th conference in the north of Mozambique in the city of Nampula under this green and white tent. I've been there several times. And then in Maputo 7 years ago, which is the capital city where it has most of the Bible schools, we said, well, we're in the north, let's go to the south where most of the Bible schools are, most of the Bible students are, and let's start conferences there and provide for them books. During the conference, we provide a bookstore. When we sell our books for like 60 or 70% discount, so it's the average guy has a chance to buy a few of them there. But still, they don't have a lot of means to buy books. So we try to get those into their hands best we can. We even started a women's session last year in Maputo Conference. A lot of women who were coming, missionaries, pastors' wives, and said, well, we need to minister to them. And so we had a conference. We had about 90 women participate just in this one session on a Saturday afternoon. And then we have Guinea-Bissau. Okay, Guinea-Bissau, this is our third conference here. I think I'm going, there we go. These buttons are kind of messing me up here. There we go. Guinea-Bissau, we've had our third conference. This was just back in November. And they just come from they have a hunger for God's word. They have a hunger for truth. They have a hunger to hear what the Lord has for their lives. And a lot of them, like I say, the only kind of teaching that they hear is prosperity type gospel. And so we're there and we're bringing them the word of God with solid Bible teachers and solid literature that we produce there in Brazil. And then Cape Verde is some islands off the West African coast that I mentioned. This was the first conference we had there back in September, and we had about 75 in all who came to our first conference in Cape Verde. Cape Verde was a strategic point for slavery. They came out of Africa, and the islands in Cape Verde was one of the last stops that they made before slaves were taken to other parts of the world. And so it's also a strategic place because a Muslim, one of the top Muslim imams that's in Cape Verde, told one of the top evangelical leaders in Cape Verde, he said, in 15 years, this country is going to be ours. He says, well, y'all have two or three children. We have 12 or 15 children. And in 15 years, we're going to continue populating this country with children and going to become adolescents and adults, and we're going to take over eventually this country. And one of the leaders who was with us, who talked to this evangelical leader, he told us, you know, this may be the perfect time for FIEL Ministries to be here to help bring in solid biblical teaching to these churches, to strengthen these churches and stem the tide of Islam that's trying to take over West Africa. And he said, this might just be a key moment. And so we're praying about that, and we're seeking to continue on with our ministry there and even have the possibility of planting a church or helping plant churches in Cape Verde. The Lord's opening new opportunities of ministry in the Portuguese-speaking countries of Africa. And as you mentioned, there's about five of them that we're working in at this moment. And Angola is one. As I've mentioned, we just went there. Me and two other people were there this last month. And we had a pastors and leaders meeting in Angola, in the capital city, Luanda. And 30 million people in Angola, the largest Portuguese-speaking country in Africa. And lots of churches. lots of churches that are not biblical churches, have never heard solid teaching and preaching and never been introduced to the doctrines of grace, and God's giving us this opportunity. And so we're going in there. This other missionary, Carl Peterson, who's been a missionary for many years, went with me, and we took Steve Lawson's book, the Kind of Preaching That God Blesses, and we put 75 of these booklets into the hands of the pastors and leaders who were at our meeting there. Another young man who leads our work in Mozambique there in the middle, Ivanildo, went with us as well, and he's helping me to implement the Adopt-a-Pastor ministry in Angola. And these are men who are asking questions about that, who are trying to sign up for this project. And so we have several men that are going to be in our waiting list soon to be adopted in Angola. And this was the meeting at the end there, the picture of our meeting, our group picture of the meeting that we had there. We're planning another meeting, Lord willing, in May. And then in 2021, we're considering having our first FIEL conference in Angola. And I've invited Pastor Paul to maybe go to one of these conferences in Angola, if y'all will let him go and his wife will let him go for about a week or so. But anyway, we're praying about it. We'll talk to you more about that later. Pray for us. My wife and I are the coordinators. Not all is well at FIEL Ministries. As you know, publishers, bookstores are being closed here in the U.S. And it also is happening in Brazil as well. And the Adopt-a-Pastor ministry is taking some new directions and new decisions in recent months. And so we're praying about our continued future there. But right now the Lord has us there, and that's what we plan to do. There's our Adopt-a-Pastor ministry team, including Ivanilda, who in Mozambique, who was visiting us at that time. There's Marlee. She works in our finances in the Adopt-a-Pastor. Dennis is kind of like my right-hand man and left-hand man now. Helps me a lot in coordinating and planning things. Ivanildo, who's and his wife are there in Portugal. They're our coordinators for Adopt-a-Pastor there. I mentioned Ivanildo there in Mozambique, and this is his fiance, Jujichi, and he's been helping us for over a year now. And then Felipe and his wife, Grazielli, that are in Guinea-Bissau, and they're our new coordinators there. And then Fabio and Thiago, who are in Cape Verde, two Brazilian missionaries who are excited about the Lord, excited about what's going on through the FIEL ministries there, who are helping us in that country. Pray for these brothers. And then these are actual brothers here, Mateos and Andre, Presbyterian brothers who have helped us in the past, and they have agreed to help coordinate the Adopt-a-Pastor ministry and FIEL ministries in Angola. And pray for these men as well. What are the objectives for, in closing here, for the Adopt-a-Pastor work in Africa? Provide solid biblical literature, theological training for the sponsored pastors and leaders. Offer annual leadership conferences and post-conference training by highly qualified Bible teachers. Plant biblical churches to serve as models for others and to provide mentoring for young pastors. What are the urgent needs for the AEP work? More sponsors to adopt pastors and seminary students. Sponsors for the annual conferences, maybe adopt a country, if a church or individual or somebody wants to adopt a country. Our biggest expense is getting there. We can provide the necessary needs of the conference there, for the food and the conference location, but just getting there, it's expensive flying back and forth, getting our teams there. So we're asking people to consider adopting a country, one of these countries, and invest with the progress that goes on in that country, and then God's people praying and participating as the Lord leads. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. So this is what we want to do, is to help these pastors and leaders to faithfully proclaim the word of God. And by your support for us, as missionaries, and by your support for the Adopt-a-Pastor ministry, you're helping this to happen. And we want to encourage you to continue with that. FIEL Ministries equipping the Portuguese-speaking church, which represents about 300 million people. It's a big people group. People don't realize it. But that's what God has called us to, and that's what we're committed to. And by His grace, we will continue on. That's the end of my presentation. Any questions or comments about what you heard or what you saw.
Are there dialect differences that make it difficult for pastors from some countries to read the books or the general?
Pretty much, say most of the Portuguese is spoken in the African countries is Portuguese of Portugal, because they were under Portugal's domination. In Brazil, we speak a little bit different accent, with a different accent, maybe use a few different words. So the Portuguese of Brazil, but it's basically the same. Just kind of like if you're from south of the United States and you go to the north and, you have to speak a little bit different English. That's kind of the way it works there. But there are different dialects in these African countries. A lot of them still use their native language. And so that a lot of that is spoken there. But we have been able to do all of our work in Portuguese, and most of those who are literate read Portuguese and function in Portuguese very well. Yes, sir.
What do y'all do to evaluate what books you're going to be providing to these pastors? Should you have a list to go off of, but the new book is published?
Yeah.
Yeah,
we have a kind of a master list that we use, because Fiel has done probably 350, close to 400 books that have been translated from English and Portuguese. And so from that list, we try to choose books that are going to be relevant to pastoral ministry, books that do with preaching, theology, commentaries, pastoral helps, biographies, family life, marriage. And so we try to give them, because normally the pastors that are in the project, they stay in this program, they stay for 3 years. So they get a book a month. So that's approximately 36 books they're going to receive over 3 years. And so we try to give them a well-rounded basic library that's going to help them to function in their ministry as pastor. And sometimes there are new books that Fiel publishes that come out, and we think, oh, wow, this, we got to have this book. And so we'll include that into the list, or we'll send that together with some of the books from our master list as well. Yes, sir. Yeah, we haven't had any real persecution or any negative things happen, against us or against the Fiel Ministries. I know Pastor Richard Denham, when he began working in the north on the Amazon River and preaching the gospel there and giving out literature, one of the Catholic priests prepared a sign and put it on the public wall or there in the public for people to see. He says, "Lord, deliver us from these Protestant heretics." And so we haven't seen any of that kind of opposition or anything. Still, there's a great freedom in Brazil and the Portuguese-speaking world for us to continue preaching and teaching and providing this literature. For now, we don't know. I know in Angola, some things are closing up there. Some churches that are not registered with the government have been kicked out. And it's also, they're using that to close even other evangelical works is there. I think it's a plan, little by little, that's going to be implemented there. So I think now's the time for us to really get there and to get to work and do what we can. I just think the things are going more to e-books, and Fiel's ministry has been based upon printing books, and so it's just kind of, there's less demand now for books, and the bookstores, we provide books for a lot of bookstores in Brazil, and a lot of that income is used to help pay the salaries for the workers and other things that go on in Brazil. So that's been affecting us, and we don't know what's the future with that is going to be. And so as it's affecting things here, it's affecting things there as well. But a lot of that, like I said, is going online, e-books and things going in that direction. So Fail's ministry is facing a dramatic change, and I'm not sure how that's going to go. Once, twice, okay. Thank you all for your time. Thank you for continued, like I say, prayer for us and your continued support for us in our ministry. And we'll keep you all informed about what's going on. And the Lord leads you to come visit Brazil or take a trip down there and learn more about what maybe God will have for you in your life. Feel free to come.
Thank you for listening. Grace Heritage Church meets in Auburn, Alabama. Services are held at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning at 1345 Antelope Drive.